just having wires. It's interesting, isn't it? God's with us, isn't he? Do you believe that? There's few of us here, but you know what? God loves starting things small and then growing them. Should we believe for that this year? That God's going to massively bless this church with more and more people. I want to see all these seats full, do you? There's plenty more seats in that cupboard, you know. So honestly, I want to encourage you to invite people to come to these meetings. And also, another thing we're doing is our gospel circuit. We've got a slide we can put up for our gospel circuit. Look at that. Andy makes all these slides. Isn't he awesome? Andy Bashford. So we're going on a circuit. You know, we felt God call us to do a circuit of gospel preaching, a little bit like the Redcar Revival nights that we did leading up to Christmas here. But we felt God wanted us to go out. I had many prophetic words spoken during the process of setting up this church here. And one of them was man on a horse. A man on a horse. They called John Wesley a man on a horse, didn't they? And he went out and he preached all over the place. And we feel that that's what God wants us to do, to go out and preach the gospel all around this area. That's why we're not called Amazing Grace Redcar. We're called Amazing Grace East Coast because of that reason. We feel called to go and preach the gospel in Mask, to go and preach the gospel in Saltburn and Loftus, and actually all the places in between. Martin told me there's three areas of Teesside. There's the Smokybacks right in the town centre, right in Middlesbrough town centre. Then there's the Scalybacks, which is round here and up there. And then there's the Woollybacks, which is kind of to Loftus and beyond. We want them all, don't we? Wouldn't it be great to see loads and loads of different people from all over this area come? You know, you might have heard that we've got a radio advert out at the moment. Seven times a day, you'll get a 20-second advert on Zetland FM about Amazing Grace Church. Some very posh lady with a nice voice tells you about Amazing Grace in 20 seconds. It's brilliant. So if you haven't tuned into Zetland FM, go for it. You know, we could do all this advertising and all this stuff, give out loads of cards, but actually, it's only the Holy Spirit who can bring people. People can only come to God when the Spirit of God draws them. So should we just pray now? Let's pray, Lord Jesus, would you draw people to these meetings, but more importantly, to yourself, Lord? Would you draw people in this area and beyond to yourself, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So, we're going to be speaking each week, and please hear, it's not just me speaking, it's all of, you know, a lot of our guys from, you know, Amazing Grace Teesside, from the movement Amazing Grace, are going to be speaking each week. Ian speaking next week on the Holy Spirit, then Martin speaking the following week on revival, and then I don't know what's happening after that, but it's going to happen. And we've got different people preaching each week on our central theme for these next 12 weeks, which is the 12 values of Amazing Grace, not just of this church, but of the movement that is Amazing Grace. You know, with the start of this church, we have three churches now under this banner of Amazing Grace. Isn't that awesome? Awesome to have three churches planted. Chris and Keena have gone and planted Amazing Grace Tartu, literally gone as missionaries out there to Tartu and planted that church, and is doing really well, starting small in their house, and they're beginning to do amazing things with the people that God's brought them already. And we have, obviously, our church that we started with at Teesside Park, which is absolutely buzzing, and Andy Bray is going to be leading that congregation to do phenomenal things. And really, actually, the crux of it is that we're all in this together. We're all in it together. We're not out here on our own. We've got the backing of this movement of God, and we really believe that this is a movement of God, Amazing Grace. And we're so pleased to have you part of it. So the first of these values, number one, is the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that I'm sure all of you know very well. Everything begins with the gospel, doesn't it? Hearing and believing the gospel. This is what it says on our website about this value. We believe that proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ is the primary role of the church, giving everyone the opportunity for forgiveness and salvation as they hear and believe. And then it says, we are not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Amen. Isn't that phenomenal? That quote there is from Romans 1. And I just want to read to you this again, but in a bit more detail, Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. This is the main theme, these two verses, right? The main theme of the book of Romans. The whole entire book of Romans can be kind of summed up, really, by these two verses, Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. This is Paul's letter to the Romans, the church at Rome. He'd never been there. Okay, he'd never been there. All the other letters that he writes, he's been to these churches, but actually, he started these churches, but the one in Rome, he didn't. This is a unique letter, an absolutely awesome letter. You know, Martin Luther said that we could do with learning this letter off by heart because it so clearly demonstrates the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to know about the gospel, then go to the book of Romans. Martin Luther said it's like the Himalayas of the Bible. Of the New Testament, anyway. Very clear. How are you getting on with memorizing Romans? All right. I've memorized these verses, but that's it. So I've got some way to go. Let's read it together. So, verse 16, Paul says this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And then Paul goes on in this letter to talk about the wrath of God that's coming to both Jews and Gentiles. Part of the point of this letter is that Paul's trying to reconcile a bit the Jews and the Gentiles. And you know, the same fate awaits anyone, whoever they are, unless they come to faith in Jesus. You know, sin is a problem in the world, isn't it? It was a big problem then. You know, this place, Rome, was one of the most corrupt cities in the world, one of the worst places in the world for crime, for sexual immorality. You know, it said out of the first 15 Roman emperors, 14 of those were practicing homosexuals. Can you imagine what the court was like in Rome? Can you imagine what the people were like in Rome? Also, it was extremely violent. Romans were very violent people, as we can see from crucifixion. The most abhorrent way to kill someone. The Romans thought that. A horrible thing to do to someone is to nail them to a cross. And Jesus had to go through that awful ordeal. A form of execution that's so brutal that 300 years after Jesus was crucified, it was abolished because it was so brutal. Even the Romans felt it was too inhumane, too brutal. But Jesus went through this for us, you see, in order to pay the price for our sins. And this is what the gospel is all about. The gospel means good news, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like good news when you think, oh, Jesus was nailed to the cross. Is that good news? Well, to the world, it sounds like bad news, doesn't it? It looked like Jesus had failed in his mission to save the world. But actually, had he? The reality is he hadn't. Because Jesus died on the cross, went through this brutal crucifixion. But then when he died, he paid the price for our sins as he did it. And with it, our sins died. And Jesus rose again, as you know, 3 days later from the grave. Awesome resurrection. And he appeared to many of his disciples and many others. 500 odd people he appeared to. Amazing. No one else has ever done that. That's never happened before, never happened after. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the good news of the gospel. Because what it means is that if you believe in Jesus, if you put your faith in Jesus, as these verses are saying, then you too will be raised from the dead. You too will get to go into heaven as Jesus did if you believe the gospel. There's a lot more to it than that, as Paul's saying here. So let's have a look. The first thing he says here in verse 16 is, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the gospel. You know, when Stacy and I were in the process of becoming Christians, we went to an event called Just 10 in Preston Park. And we walked into this event having really no real experience of church, certainly not a church like ours. We'd gone to church when we were kids. We'd gone to weddings. We'd gone to funerals. We'd sometimes been taken to Sunday school, but we didn't have a clue really who Jesus was. We didn't understand the gospel at all. We walked into this place and we were absolutely shocked because this tent in Preston Park seated 6,000 people and it was pretty full. I mean, this was nothing like the church that we'd experienced that was absolutely dead and absolutely dying. This was full of what seemed to us to be young people who at that time were our age. We were in our late 20s then, 10 years ago. And we looked at these people and they had their hands in the air, just like we were doing earlier when we were worshiping God. They had their hands in the air and some of them had their eyes closed and they looked pretty happy. Huh? We were shocked because whenever we went to church when we were kids, we were not very happy. We were pretty bored, if I'm honest with you. This was full of life. And although we didn't say anything to each other, we wanted what these people had. We were desperate for each other, actually. We didn't talk about it, really. But we were desperate for what they had. So this event ran for 10 weeks. We kept going every week. And on about the sixth week, we found ourselves walking to the front of this meeting, walking to the front and responding to the altar call. And when we got to the front, someone prayed for us and they said, say this prayer after me. And so we said this prayer and for some reason we were crying. We didn't know why, but both of us were crying. There were other people crying and a few people laughing hysterically. Didn't know why at the time. It was pretty freaky. But we said this. We said, thank you, Lord, for dying for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price and taking the punishment that we deserve for our sins. Please come into our life, our lives, by your Holy Spirit and fill us now. You are the Lord of our lives, Lord. We follow you now forever. Amen. What did we receive on that day? Well, we received the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, we didn't really understand what we'd done. So we went on an alpha course after that, and it began to click that, oh yeah, this is real. The gospel is real, and it's not something to be ashamed of. Those people in that tent, proudly, you know, another version, another translation, Paul says, I am proud of the good news. He didn't say I'm ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, sorry. Another version says, I'm proud of the good news. Do you want to be proud of the good news, of the gospel? Should we be proud of it? Whenever we go out and we give people a card like this, or we invite them to those gospel nights, should we be proud of the gospel? Because it's the work of God. We didn't bring the gospel into being, but we thank God for it. We praise God for it, and we can be proud of the gospel. The fact is that many people are ashamed about all kinds of things in today's society. I don't know if you've noticed, but Theresa May has decided to give the NHS about 35 to 40 more billion pounds to cover the costs associated with trying to stop mental health issues rising and rising and rising. You know that? Many people are living in shame and guilt for various reasons. You know, I have a couple of friends of mine whose teenage daughters have been publicly ashamed on Facebook or Instagram. And one of them tried to kill herself because of that. The reality is, brothers and sisters, we're living in a dark, dark place that desperately needs the gospel. Desperately needs you and I to go and take the gospel out. We can't just trust people to come here necessarily. We need to go out and we need to take the gospel with us. You know, when Carl and I were on our way here to do these Redco revival nights the first week, we found ourselves driving behind the bus and the bus had this route on the back of it and it went from Redco to Mask to Saltburn to Loftus. And we felt that God was calling us to do that. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're going out. From the very start, we're not going to be the kind of church that just stays still. I hope you're all right with that. We're going to be going out with the gospel. The Holy Spirit there. Isn't that good? Come on in. Yay. I need a bit of air. Did you see me jumping around after Nathaniel? It's hard work. Tried to attack Ian at some point. Did you see that? Did well, though. So, we're not ashamed of the gospel, are we? No. Hallelujah. Well, let's be proud of it. Let's be proud of what Jesus has done for us and ask for Holy Spirit to fill us with boldness to proclaim it. You know, you might not think of yourself as a particularly bold person. I'll tell you what, when I first became a Christian, I was pretty petrified of speaking in front of people. I could never do it. But praise God, He's given me the grace to do it. And it takes boldness to do something, doesn't it? It takes boldness to go out and do something. And we desperately need the boldness of the Holy Spirit. The reason we're not ashamed and we're proud of the good news, the gospel, is simply because it's the power of God. The power of God. Does anyone want more power this morning? I do, please. I just need power to get through everyday life, do you? I need power. I would like power. You know, Christmas this year, does anyone else, the lights get brighter then? Holy Spirit's really here, isn't it? You know, for Christmas, I bought Stacey a number of presents, but one of them was something that I actually wanted for myself. Have you ever done that? Have you ever bought someone a present and sort of pretended it was for them, but actually it's for you? I sometimes do that, and I did that this year. I bought Stacey an Amazon Echo. Don't know if you know what that is, but you know what it is, yeah, you got one. Like a little speaker that somehow is connected to the internet, and you can speak to it, and it does things for you. I mean, it doesn't make a cup of tea yet before they get to that part. But it can play like near enough any song you want. You know, there's loads of Christian songs it can play. It's awesome. And it can play Zetland FM. And it can call someone on your phone for you. I don't know how it does it. It can turn your lights on somehow. You know, if you've got a bulb that you're attached to it somehow by Bluetooth. Amazing. But you know, when we got it, and we put it up, we set it all up. It took a little while to set up. But then you say, Alexa, do this. Alexa, play that music. Alexa, call that person. You feel like you've got power. I have no power in my house. When I tell people in my house what to do, my kids, they don't do it. But when I tell Alexa what to do, she does it. She never grumbles. Sometimes she says, I can't find it. But then you just have to say it a bit more clearly. Alexa, and the little blue light comes on. I'm listening, and then she does it. I mean, it's amazing to have power. Real power is much more than that. You know, the Bible says this, the voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning. It says that in Psalm 29, verse 7. Let me read that to you again. The voice of the Lord strikes with bolts of lightning or flashes of lightning. Have you ever seen lightning? Have you ever seen it strike? It's power, isn't it? This is what the voice of the Lord is like. The voice of the Lord wants to strike, not to harm people, but the gospel is full of power, is what I'm saying to you. When the gospel is proclaimed, preached, or even just talked about, there's power. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, not to be scared, not to be fearful, but to have faith in this power that the gospel is based upon. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5, Paul says, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power. You know, I work at the university with Stuart, and Stuart was the one who witnessed to me and invited me to these events, and eventually I went to this event, Just 10, and became a Christian. But for a couple of years, Stuart must have felt like he had no power. He constantly invited me to things, and I constantly said, no, thanks. I don't want to be a Christian. Thank you very much. But in a nice way, I said, no, thanks, no, thanks, no, thanks. Until, for some reason, God must have decided, right, it's time. I've trained Stuart enough. I've given him enough disappointment. Let's give him a yes from Tom. So me and Stacey decided to go. I think that's the power of God, do you? Because I was saved from a result of that. The amount of no's Stuart got from me was quite high over about 2 years. But it only took one yes for God to break in at that meeting and bring not just me, but there was a 2-for-1 with Stacey at the same time. Bog off deal, yeah. Isn't it awesome? The power of God is something that you can rely upon. Maybe you go to someone and you invite them to an event that we're running, and they might say, bog off. They might say, no. Does it matter? No, it doesn't. Because still, the power of God is there when you invite them. Maybe the next person you invite will say, I'll go on then. I'll come, which is what I said. Just to shut you up, Stu, I'll come. We'll come. And we did, and our lives have been transformed ever since. I want to encourage you never to stop believing in the power of the gospel, the power of God. Maybe you're not confident to invite people because you feel like you can't explain the gospel. Well, just invite them to an event. Just say, come to this event. You'll enjoy it. It's fun. I'm going. There's tea and coffee. There's cake. I don't know. Whatever you're going to say to get people there. But make sure you mention Jesus. Because when you say Jesus, there's power. If you mention the word Jesus, which is very hard to do sometimes when we live in a secular world, very difficult to do, say the name Jesus, and I promise you there'll be power behind it. Many times I've tried to witness without saying Jesus, and it hasn't worked because there's no power in it, because there's something, a fear in me that says, don't say Jesus. You can't say Jesus Christ. You can't say it. Well, I want to encourage you to say it and use the name of Jesus, because that's where the power is. The power of the whole Word of God, the whole Bible, is Jesus, isn't it? The coming of Jesus, the pointing towards the coming of Jesus, the actual real coming of Jesus to this planet, and then the looking back to what he achieved when he did come. I mean, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's a song about it. Third thing Paul says here, so he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, I'm proud of the good news, because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. What does he mean by that? Well, let's look at salvation. Salvation, really, in reality, is what everyone is searching for. Salvation is what I was searching for. For the first 27 years of my life, me and Stacey were searching for salvation, but we didn't realize we were trying to be satisfied by many other things that the world offers: alcohol, sex, drugs, other things. We were doing sinful things that actually never ever satisfied us, never ever gave us what we wanted, because what we really wanted and what everyone really wants is a savior. Salvation. You know, when Paul was writing these letters that are in this New Testament, at the time, people were exactly the same. Even though it was almost 2,000 years ago, people were exactly the same. They were searching for something that they couldn't find elsewhere. The world is full of unsatisfied people who are desperate for a savior and they don't realize it. We didn't realize it. Did you, when you came to faith in Jesus, realize that that's what you were searching for? That that was the thing that was going to satisfy all of your needs? Salvation. It's salvation from many things, isn't it? Salvation from physical illness, from death, from physical death. Salvation from spiritual insecurity, from being lost, more than that. You know, we have this powerful gospel that actually can change the direction of someone's life as they're living on this planet. But more important than that, their eternal destiny. Do you realize the weight and the power of the gospel? The eternal destiny of someone can be changed in an instant. In an instant, as soon as we responded to the gospel, our eternal destiny, mine and Stacey's, in that meeting, in that tent in Preston Park, was fundamentally changed. You know, I had the awesome privilege of leading my mother to faith in Jesus. While she was dying last year, she'd been coming to church and she'd been kind of doing Christian things. But we had this conversation, and I said this at her funeral. We had this conversation a couple of months before she died. She was in hospital again, and she was really struggling. And I had this conversation with her, and I said, "Mum, have you ever asked Jesus to come into your life?" Because we're having a conversation about how she used to take me to church when I was a kid. And she said, "Why did you reject that, Tom? Why did you reject that and do your own thing? And now you're doing this different kind of church." And I said, "Well, Mum, to be honest with you, I didn't have Jesus. When you used to take me to church, I didn't understand it. I didn't hear the gospel, and I didn't respond." You know, you have to respond to the gospel and ask Jesus to come into your life if you really want to be saved. If you really want to have the gift of eternal life, you need to be saved. And she said, "Okay, what shall I do?" I said, "Well, why don't we pray? Why don't we ask Jesus to come into your life right now?" And we did it. She repented of her sins. You know, my mum had been baptized. She'd been kind of living as a Christian, but she wasn't sure that she was saved. She wasn't sure. She knew she was going to die soon, actually. She wasn't sure if she was saved. It's good to be sure, isn't it? God wants you and I and people, everyone, to be sure. So we said this prayer, and I tell you, she was very different after that. She really struggled physically still. I was praying for healing. I had absolute faith that she was going to be healed. But she wasn't, because God wanted to take her with him. And you know what? I was totally fine with that, and I still am, because I know where she was going, to eternal life with Jesus. And that's where she is now. You know, I want to encourage you to believe for salvation for those who are close to you. Many of our other family aren't saved. I wonder if you've got family who don't know Jesus. Maybe you have. Well, don't lose faith for them, will you? Keep faith right until the end. Also, this salvation is from slavery, from sin. You know, sin is a hard taskmaster, isn't it? Many people living around this area, all areas of the planet, but a lot around this area, are under the power of Satan and sin. Under the power of it. Their lives are dictated to by it. You know, when Annie goes out and does her soup kitchen on Tuesday night, she goes outside the old train station in Redcar, and she gives soup to anyone who will come. She said originally she started doing it for homeless people, but the most amount of people who come there are actually drug addicts, people who are drug addicts and really struggling with drug addiction. People like that are all around this area. People who desperately need a way out. Jesus can break the power of sin and addiction for those people. And that's why, another reason why, we want to go out on the streets and do things. We don't just want to stay and create a nice little cozy church, do we? We want to go and bring the gospel to people. That's what I feel we're called to do. And finally, it's salvation from the wrath of God. The wrath of God is something to be feared. One day, Jesus is going to return, and everyone is going to be judged for their sins. But the good news for Christians is that our sins have already been judged. God's wrath has already been taken by Jesus. Because what Jesus came to give us wasn't just like a get out of hell free ticket or a get into heaven free ticket. It was that, but also it was a transaction. It was another two for one. It was that, but also awesome gift called righteousness. Sometimes it's talked of as a robe that's put around us, a robe of righteousness that's not our own, it's his. Let me read to you. For in the gospel, it goes on to say in verse 17, a righteousness from God is revealed. Jesus came to die and save us from our sins, but also to make us right with God, to make us right with God, so that when God looks at you and me, if we have given our lives to Jesus, all he sees is Jesus. We're hidden in Christ, the Bible says. Isn't that an awesome gift? To know that when the world is judged, if you're in Jesus, you're going to escape that judgment. You're going to be taken to a better place. See, as soon as my mum died, I knew, because God showed me, she was instantly in paradise. Just like that criminal who was crucified next to Jesus. Jesus turned to him and said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Ah, how awesome is the gospel? Do you love it? Isn't it phenomenal? I love it. So another 2-for-1, Jesus took our sins, the thing that separated us from God, and he gave us this right standing with God. Paul talks about his own righteousness as not being the answer. You know, I was reading something that said it's far harder for people who think they're good to repent than the drug addicts and the murderers and the rapists. Repent because they know they're bad. What if you think you're good? What if you think you're a good person and you do good things and that should be good enough? Oh, it's very hard for those people to repent of that. Because this is what Paul says. He considered his righteousness, his own righteousness, like human dung, like poo. That's how he considered his righteous acts, the righteous things that he did. They were like human dung, the Bible says. It says in Philippians 3, verse 8. Rubbish, he said. They're like rubbish. Everything I did before I met Jesus and came to faith in Jesus. Like rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Actually, it's only Jesus that gives us his righteousness. We need to wear his righteousness. You know, some people came here to our vision night and they were talking to us all about going out on the streets and helping people. It sounded really good. The reality is, some of them weren't doing it for Jesus. Some of them weren't even saved. They weren't going about in the righteousness of Jesus. So if we just do things in our own righteousness, the truth is they're just dead works. Dead works. Jesus wants us to be filled with his righteousness, clothed in his righteousness. A righteousness that is by faith. This verse ends by saying a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. That's from Habakkuk 2 verse 4, that little quote that Paul is quoting from the Old Testament. Living by faith. You know what unites people in the world before they come to faith in Jesus? There's one thing that unites everyone. Paul's saying this, whether you're Jew or Gentile, goes on to say this. One thing unites you, sin. Sin, that's it. Sin, every one of us is born into sin. Until we ask Jesus to come and free us of those sins. The thing that unites us after that, as Christians, as believers, and this is what Paul is saying in this book of Romans as well, the awesome thing, faith. Faith. Also, it's a gift. It's not from us, just like righteousness. It's part of righteousness, actually. It's faith. It's something that comes from God. You can't create your own faith, you know. Stacey and I couldn't create our own faith in those 6 weeks of going to those meetings. We had no faith for 5 of them. But then suddenly, for some reason, we had faith. You know, we used to joke to each other and push each other forward to the front in all those weeks before we actually did it ourselves. We used to laugh at people who would get out of their seats and walk to the front. You think, flipping heck, what are they doing? There's loads of people watching. Until we found ourselves doing it. We found ourselves walking to the front. Do you know why? Because we had a mustard seed of faith. We didn't even talk to each other before we did it. We looked at each other, nodded, and then got up and walked to the front. What is that? That's from God, isn't it? It's not from me and not from I want to encourage you to ask God for the gift of faith. You know, faith means this. It means total acceptance and absolute trust. Do you have it this morning? Do you have total acceptance of Jesus Christ in your heart? And do you have absolute trust in the gospel? Do you know that your eternal destiny is heaven? Have you received this righteousness or not? We're going to take communion in a moment. Where is communion? So we're going to take communion in a moment at this table at the back. And Ian's going to come and play a song. Why don't we close our eyes and just ask for God to speak to us? You know, if you need this gift of faith this morning, why don't you ask God for it? Maybe your faith goes up and down, and maybe it's not there all the time. And the reality is, that's just life, isn't it? Why don't we pray that God gives us these things out of faith in Him? As you go and take communion at these tables at the back, the table at the back, why don't you give your life fresh to Jesus? And why don't you say again, sorry for my sins, Lord. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for taking the punishment that I deserve. Come, Holy Spirit, afresh into my life and fill me with your power, the power to tell others about you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for each person in here. Thank you, Lord, that when you came and you died on the cross, you said, it is finished. The mission that you came to achieve to save the world from sin was finished. You'd accomplished it. As your body had been broken, as your blood had been poured out, you did it, Lord, for us. So why don't you come and break bread together? Why don't we break bread together this morning and remember what Jesus did for us on the cross? Come to the foot of the cross this morning, whenever you're ready. Come and take the bread and the wine, because Jesus had his body broken for you and his blood poured out for you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You receive this wonderful gift now. Amen. So whenever you're ready, why don't we take communion together?